Hey y'all, do you love us? Do you want to keep listening to us for free?
Help keep the Good and Terrible Show free by including the Cold Slither Podcast Network in your online shopping routine.
Visit coldslitherpodcast.com, click the link, keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon, and then buy all the stuff you want.
Everything you normally buy, you can purchase through our site, and Amazon will give us money so that we're able to keep the podcast free.
Help us help you.
We love you a little bit.
Just a little. A lot.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. The man behind the sound effects joining me tonight is at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? I will fix my my tagline as soon as I get a chance on the screen for anybody watching.
Yeah. It's also what you kind of go by, at least for the show here.
That's right.
Let's see. Roddy Cat will hopefully be joining us later tonight. He's having some internet issues. You can follow him on Twitter at Roddy Cat.
That's right. As soon as I pull up the... There you go.
Oh, yeah. And Dirt will not be joining us tonight. He had some wisdom teeth removed today, or yesterday. So we wish him a speedy recovery.
Feel better, Dirt.
I'm sure he's sitting at home, hopefully watching. If not, he'll have casted things to add when he joins us next week.
That's right. He's going to be, healing right now. That's what he's doing. Yep.
So make sure to go to his website, popculturenetwork.com.
Chang chang.
While also going to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. Follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Like the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe on YouTube and on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Go on and give us some 5-star reviews, thumbs up.
That's right.
All the different ways you can give us nice feedback and bump us up the ratings in Stitcher and iTunes.
There you go.
We record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you are on social media, make sure to use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles so we can see your tweets. If you're on Twitter, there are tweets. I'm forgetting my whole spiel now.
That's right. We're a member of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Yes. I'm trying to share the YouTube link now, so that's what's... Got my mind blinking. So, yes, we're part of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. As Agent 70 said, coldslitherpodcast.com. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You want us to take the news today?
Sure. I will start off with everything that is fit to print or at least talk about on the Comic Book Chronicles. So we have, leading off, some more casting news. Duke, and she's joining as a confidant of Peggy Carter, a good friend, I believe. Let me pull this up. She's coming on in a recurring role as a character named Dottie, described as a small town girl from Iowa who will have a huge impact on the life of Agent Carter. So that's pretty cool. You will recognize Bridget Regan as from Legend of the Seeker. I don't recognize her from that, but you know, what are you gonna do? White Collar and Jane the Virgin, and a role in John Wick, the Keanu Reeves action movie. So anyone who's been to the theater lately would recognize Bridget Regan. Big Hero 6's Jamie Chung wants to play Psylocke. Now, don't get me wrong. Isn't Jamie Chung, wasn't she on The Real World?
Yes.
That's her, right?
Yeah, she's a movie star now.
That's right. Now she wants to play Psylocke? Oh, brother.
She was in, what was that? Zack Snyder-looking film with the women?
Yes. What was that called? I heard so many bad things about it, but it looked good visually, right?
Right.
I heard so many. What was it called? Come on, Twitter, get at us.
She was in that. She was also in The Hangover 2 as what's his name?
Stewie's wife.
Stewie's wife.
Right.
And a couple of other things. She was Goku's. She was in that Goku Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball movie. Was it Chi-Chi, I think?
I didn't see it. That's funny.
I can admit to seeing that horrible movie, so.
Where's the sound effect? That's funny.
But yeah, so she wants to play Psylocke, so good for her.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, from what the article, the quick bit of the article that I read basically says she grew up with 90s X-Men. You know, she's a contemporary of ours. You know, she's not that far apart in age. So she grew up with like the Jim Lee X-Men and the Psylocke that was designed for that era. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that would explain a lot, you know, a lot of her fandom of the character, you know, her appreciation for the character. Next on the list we have, and this is interesting, will Civil War launch on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? This was an interesting story to read because there's teases, obviously, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. of the Inhumans. That's no secret anymore, right? I think that right. if anyone watched this week's episode, spoiler alert, they may very well be teasing a Tillin or something very Inhuman related on the show. So if you haven't watched this week's episode, you might want to catch up. But in terms of Civil War, they're talking more about leading into, I guess, post-Avengers, leading into some aspects of Civil War. So we may well see this stuff pop up once the Avengers hits, or maybe just before Avengers hits, because I think they're introducing the Speedball character, or at least there's talk of introducing the Speedball character on the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. So I think that's where this rumor is generated from.
That's interesting. I'm sitting here reading the article now.
I know there's an article. There's an old news bit where an actor who I guess said he was going to be cast as Robbie Baldwin was talking about being on the show.
Yeah.
So.
I guess I had the article open. I could have read it to get the guy's name. See if I can get it back open here quickly. Too many tabs open.
Oh, same here. This is what we get for sharing the news, right?
Okay, so I got it.
What's his name?
Kranz.
Fran Kranz?
Let's see. So, actor Fran Kranz, who's worked with Joss Whedon several times, tweeted out Mockingbird, Robbie Baldwin, S.H.I.E.L.D. soon. And then he deleted the tweet.
Because Disney Marvel came at him with the
cease and desist.
Exactly. with the we're gonna fire you if you don't delete that right away.
So the thought is that they'll set up maybe teenagers or, of course, unregistered people on S.H.I.E.L.D. and then maybe have Speedball blow himself up at maybe the beginning of the Civil War, so they don't have to spend a lot of time trying to do a setup for why there needs to be a superhero registration. And I guess they could even have it happen in S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess, and then carry over. To have it work backwards, carry over into the movies.
Absolutely. That's definitely a possibility.
All right. And Hathaway wants Catwoman to cameo in future DC films. Of course she does.
That's more money for her. That's right.
Of course, her Catwoman doesn't exist anymore, so too bad.
All right, Jared Leto, or Leto, reportedly targeted as Joker in Suicide Squad. This is interesting casting news because there's word that Margot Robbie, a couple lines down, has been cast as Harley Quinn in the Suicide Squad movie. It's interesting that they would bring out these this particular group of Batman rogue, you know, members of the Batman's rogue gallery, rogues gallery, and introduce them in Suicide Squad of all places.
It makes the profile for Suicide Squad
a lot higher.
Yes.
Agreed.
Wonder if the comic follows suit, depending on what happens with the Joker in Endgame.
Right.
Photos of Marvel's Ant-Man villain Yellowjacket leaked.
What did you think? Did you see them?
Look nice.
It's very technical. Yeah, it's very, very, very technical looking. So it's interesting.
Flash adds another Firestorm. Luke Roderick is to play Jason Roush.
Yeah. Right. I wonder how they're going to play this. I didn't watch this week's episode of The Flash yet. But I know that I guess they're dropping various hints of, you know, in these stories of these names, but are they really going to come together as Firestorm at some point? We'll see.
And they have like three different alter egos of
Firestorm. Exactly. And I think they've named them all, you know, or they put a whole bunch of names into the TV show. So we'll see. Oh, we're getting to the controversy this week. We're getting to it.
I'm opening the link now so I can read from it. So, Cable talks major changes to Doctor Doom in Fantastic Four reboot. Toby Cable is playing Doctor Doom in the new Fantastic Four movie. In an interview, he stated that his character's familiar name would not be Victor Von Doom, and that his background has a distinctly more 21st century bent than the Doctor Doom of the comic books. He's Victor Domashev, not Victor Von Doom in our story, Kebble said. And I'm sure I'll be sent to jail for telling you that. I'm a programmer, very anti-social programmer, and on blogging sites, I'm quote-unquote Doom.
Wait a second. That's what we think of this.
Yes, because it's lame.
Oh, my God. You know what's funny?
He's an internet troll.
Yeah, seriously. You know what's funny? I was online for a panel at New York Comic Con that I ended up not getting into. I think it was the Spider-Verse panel. And I was in a discussion with some guys who were basically trying to keep me open-minded about this Fantastic Four reboot movie. They were just like, oh, give it a chance. You can't just, you know, hate it from the get-go. You haven't even seen it yet. There haven't been any reviews or anything like that. It's just about what's been released so far in terms of teaser information. And this doesn't exactly get my hopes up for a good movie.
my hopes were never up.
I know, but you know what? I try to keep an open mind. I try not to be close-minded about these things. It's just, you know, it's impossible when you read things like this. Why call it the Fantastic Four? Call it four people that get powers and fight a blogger. Seriously.
Because it has name value behind it.
I know. This is awful, man. I held off on, like, tweeting all about this. I just kept reading, you know, all the comments and tweets about it, and I couldn't bring myself to contribute because it would just get worse.
There was a rumor that was shot down because it's too silly to even believe, but supposedly Sony is working on a Aunt May spinoff movie that would have nothing to do with Spider-Man and would focus on her early life as a, I guess, a teenager working for S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever government organization they were supposed to be working for back in the day.
See, what's funny is that was supposed to, I guess that was like the retcon origin for Richard and Mary Parker, that they were agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Back in the 90s, they actually did a couple of stories that I, you know, that I bought. They were actually pretty good. They actually encountered Wolverine, you know, back, you know, way back when, prior, pre-Adamantium. And, you know, that was Richard and Mary Parker's reason for leaving Peter with Ben and May. So, you know, it's kind of funny that they would try to twist that and turn Aunt May into a, a secret, you know, a secret agent. You know, I guess that's where Peter Parker gets his secret, you know, his streak from of, you know, kind of being subversive and kind of bucking a little bit of authority there.
Yeah, because once everyone saw Aunt May in those last two Spider-Man movies, folks were just demanding a solo movie for her.
That's right.
But like I said, it was obviously some bird. So don't waste too much time getting worked up about it.
Seriously. Do we even have to mention this? Mel Gibson says he would consider directing Iron Man 4, really?
No one cares.
Yeah, really?
But people may care about Michelle McLaurin possibly directing Wonder Woman.
That's important.
It's funny, like, I saw the articles. I'm clicking on this link, make sure I get it, the story right. But I saw all the headlines were like, first she was labeled as someone from Game of Thrones, and then I saw her being labeled as a Breaking Bad person, I believe. Has she written for both?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. She directed some of the most brutal and riveting Breaking Bad episodes. But yeah, it's like it's funny how some sites list her as, okay, here it is. If you're a fastidious credit watcher, you've seen McLaurin's name in the credits of The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, and Breaking Bad. Okay. So, let's see. That's about it, really. It's just a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
Jai Courtney eyed for Batman villain Deadshot and just Suicide Squad, going back to more Suicide Squad rumors.
Seriously? That stuff was flying hot and heavy this week.
Yes. And Ghostface Killah enlists comic artist for new album.
Tony Starks.
And going on to comic book actual comic book news.
Are they really doing a Miami Vice comic? That's funny.
I think I heard about something about that.
That is interesting. What does this article say? I did not have a chance to read this. So Joe Casey and Jim Mahfood reimagine Crockett and Tubbs for a Miami Vice comic. It's called Miami Vice Remix, published by IDW. So Lion Forge, the mostly digital but going to print comics company, picked up some nice 80s licenses like Punky Brewster and Miami Vice. Lovely. Hmm. Lovely. So we have some stuff to look forward to from Lion Forge here. First off, they have a preview image online at comicsbeat.com of Miami Vice Remix. Kind of interesting looking.
Remix.
Let's see.
So I was opening a link to something. Oh, the Garfield story. So Garfield to go through an afterlife with Archie style transformation from Boom Studios.
Say what? I did not read this.
I hadn't either. So Archie Comics recently created a horrific version of Archie using the Necro Namikon to launch a zombie plague through Riverdale. Might such a warning be necessary for the nine lives of Garfield? A new series from Garfield Comics licensee. The Boom Studio fully transformed in nine different ways by comic book creators. You might not expect to be working on such a title. Let's see. Oh, so this is a rumor.
Okay. Update.
While neither confirming nor denying, Boom have stated that any such Garfield book will most definitely remain ages.
You know, kind of scary. Kind of scary.
Folks?
Hey!
Howdy.
Who goes there?
It is I, Roddy.
Roddy Cat!
Sorry about that. Internet went all
what
kind of foolish.
What are they feeding you?
So what?
I said, what are they feeding you? Oh, my goodness. Welcome back, Roddy.
Thank you, thank you.
We've made our way through the movie and TV news, and we are in the midst of comic news.
Right. I think I heard you talking about the Garfield stuff. So.
Yep.
Okay. Carry on.
So next up is Scott Snyder says he'll only write one superhero ongoing at a time, which I found interesting, so I'm actually clicking the link to read it myself here. Batman and Superman Unchained writer Scott Snyder might be one of the most reliable sellers in mainstream American comics, blah, blah, blah. During an interview with IGN, Snyder explained that it's really just about keeping his brain engaged by doing a wider variety of different things. So this is interesting. I think one of the things I learned writing Superman Unchained was that for me, and maybe this is a more aerial view question to answer, one of the things I realized was I love both characters, Superman and Batman, and I'd love to write both of them, but one of the hard things about writing them at the same time is just that you flex some of the same muscles writing them because their series have similar priorities.
True.
They need to be really personal first and foremost so that the character doesn't just feel like you're doing a Batman or Superman story. It has to be something that's yours, but it also has to have a lot of bombast, and you want it to have action. You want it to be fun and have a fun supporting cast that has the same big pace to it, a crescendo. So I love working on both them individually, but I think as a writer, it'd be hard for me to do a Superman ongoing or a Wonder Woman ongoing or really any superhero while I'm doing Batman, unless it was a very different kind of superhero. I enjoy having a plate that varies and has different sorts of creative challenges. And he brings up witches and American Vampire.
I mean, it makes sense because if you're, especially if you're a writer, in infield, you don't want to get to the point to where you're having a whole lot of stuff sound. Especially if you're writing different things in the same genre, you don't want to have it to where everything's going to sound the same because, hey, you just finished writing on this one, so that might bleed into the other stuff you're writing here and there if the characters were similar. So kind of having yourself do different things kind of puts your mind in way different places at the time you're writing. So, you know, not to say that Batman and Superman are exactly the same, but, you know, they are cut from similar cloths in what they are. So, it can make sense.
All right. Next up. Image Expo is going to return to San Francisco January 2015. Okay, you got this. So Marvel reveals prequel to Avengers time runs out and plans head into Secret Wars. That was today, actually.
I missed this. Ooh.
So the Avengers stuff, the pre-time run out stories could be told in Avengers World, I think starting with number 17, if I remember correctly. It's called Before Time Runs Out. And then they showed some covers. They showed how Captain Britain is the last surviving member of the Captain Britain Corps. Avengers World number 17 has Smasher and Cannonball and the baby in space holding the baby on the cover surrounded by the Imperial Guard. You're supposed to find out how Sunspot becomes the leader of the Avengers, and of course, Beyonder shows up during the time runs out, and supposedly we're going to find out what happened with the Living Tribunal. All that good stuff. DC announces 10 Convergence titles featuring Stephanie Brown, Cassandra Cain, and more.
Huh.
The complete Christopher Priest Black Panther is out next year.
Yes.
Ha!
So I would go so far as to say that for me that this is the definitive version of Black Panther, because this was the series that kind of got gravitated towards me, and I'm hoping because of this is that's what they're going to base the movie on, at least the beginning of it.
I need to read it on Unlimited.
Yeah. Oh wait, this is the Tech series, or is this the J.R. Jr. series?
Wait, what are you doing? Who was what?
The art. Who did the art on this?
Oh, on the Priest stuff? I don't even remember.
At the beginning with Teixeira, I remember reading that. Okay. I think I have a few of those issues.
Yeah. Like, I know I have a couple of trades around here somewhere, but can't get to them. But either way, that'll be good, because like I said, I'm hoping that just means that they're going to use that for the movie, as a basis for the movie.
All right, cool.
CM Punk writes Thor comics for Marvel.
This is pretty cool. I have to admit, this is pretty cool.
Is it just that?
And Rob Gilroy.
Right. It's just that he's not taking over the series. He's just doing that one annual, right?
Right. He's just doing a backup story in the annual. It's a short, like 10-page story, but still, that's pretty cool. You know, that's pretty cool that he can. You know, that he actually has. You know, I guess he pitched an idea that was appealing enough to Marvel to actually give him a shot at a short backup story.
Yeah. So there you go, wrestling fans. You want to get in the comics? Be a wrestler.
Yeah.
Hey, Mick Foley's doing it. Did it.
That's right.
So Tim, I don't know about you, 8-70, but I know Tim's a wrestling fan here. So.
I'm going to check it out. I had to see how his writing chops are.
Yeah.
You know, see if it encourages me to outdo him.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's probably going to be doing that anyway, but hey.
Marvel launches new video show combining comics and cooking. Oh, I saw a little thing for that from who's the...
C.B.
Sobolski.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's him, and I tried to catch a little bit of it, but I never did because I was working. But
it's the Spider-Man crew, right?
I think so.
What channel? It's online.
That's on the line. Yeah.
It's on their YouTube. I'm like, what channel is this? Good God!
All right. Will Whedon to co-host DC All Access.
Yeah, and I think they were talking about like the Stephanie Brown stuff and whatever now, but I think that was the big draw that people like Will Whedon. You know, aside from Wesley Crusher.
Wesley!
Yeah.
Marvel's Atso Alonso talks new Captain America on MSNBC.
I did not know this.
Yeah, I think I saw this. I think this was today, I believe. But, you know, he was asked, being that it was the news outlet it is, there was a pertinent... I didn't see the thing, so I just kind of skimmed through the article. But he talked about Captain America and, of course, the question of race and whatnot came up. But the link is there. Check out I need to share this. The link is there. Check it out. So he kind of got some of the basic comic book questions, sounds like, or some of the comic book stuff that you expect a mainstream news outlet to bring up.
Dark Horse Presents unleashes 80-page, 200th issue with Gillian Flynn, Groob, Mignola, and more. S.H.I.E.L.D. and Angela top advanced reorder charts with sets tips improperly close behind. And Dynamite Comics to Comics Fix.
So Comics Fix is basically like it's up until this, it was more indie-focused version of a, say, Marvel Unlimited. So they're like, as far as unless somebody else had happened to, Dynamite is the one of the bigger ones to kind of get on there. I think it's more indies and self-published stuff on there that I remember seeing.
All right, and I see there's some variant cover stuff here to talk about. DC unveiled the Convergence logo. Oh, did I see that?
Makes me want to look at it.
Let me see what that looks like. Is that loading? Ivan Rice illustrates Eddie Thon in the Flash profile cards.
Actually, there was an article a couple of ones down that has all of them, because it was actually not just him. I mean, the Ivan Rice did like pretty much everybody on the show, all the main characters on the show, if I'm not mistaken, and that's like a couple of down. I forgot to take that one out of there, or was anyway. Yeah, the like two down, the Flash, the character cards.
Got to it yet, looking at the Convergence. Oh, okay. But yeah, I'm going to be skipping Convergence anyway, so it doesn't look better. I'll pick and like all the other special theme months or whatever, I'll pick and choose the stories to read.
Yeah. Here and there.
Depends on art and which characters. Vader stands his ground and lost his Star Wars Darth Vader #1 variant.
Yeah, that was an alright one.
Okay, and that's about it.
Cool.
So now we get to the...
Actually, before you move on, I do have, because unfortunately before my internet went screwy, I did have a couple... crap. No, those didn't... So mommy said #9. Oh, there was the one that was early up about the Flash. I don't know if you did y'all do that one?
What about the Flash?
It was basically physics students figured out that the Flash might not be good at saving people, because him running so fast and trying to save you might actually, you know, hurt and or kill you.
Oh, they're getting technical.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. But he can, I thought that was funny.
But he can run on water and up walls, people. Yeah. That's all that matters.
Well, the only reason why I put that one in, because even looking at the show, and you see, like, I think what happened in the end of the first episode, where the dude almost gets hit by the truck, and he just kind of runs on top of the car and saves him. Like, him running that fast to kind of scoop that dude up, you know, in the wrong way, probably would kill him. So.
All right.
But anyway.
Comics to review. Who, is there any comic that anyone wants to start with?
Hey, 8 to 7A.
She-Hulk
number 10.
Oh, did you just say She-Hulk number 10? That was literally on the tip of my tongue. Literally on the tip of my tongue. This was, I'm pulling it up now so that I can refer to it. This was such a fun read.
I was telling
Tim Dog, it's not just the lawyer in me. Although it probably was. You know, I can't wait to see Soul again and have him autograph this particular issue, because this was a ton of fun. You know, it does wrap up this this little three-issue arc with Steve Rogers, old Steve Rogers now, aged Steve Rogers, retaining She-Hulk to defend him in a wrongful death suit, where Daredevil, Matt Murdock, is defending the plaintiffs, and there's just a lot of great, you know, Captain America character lines in this, and you know, and there's some great, you know, legal scenes too in terms of delivering closing statements. So, you know, all in all, this was definitely just a great read. It's a little on the talky side. There's not much in the way of action. You know, it is kind of a courtroom drama, or the tail end of a courtroom drama. So think of it as the last 20 minutes of a Law and Order episode, maybe.
Yeah. But the little action that was in there was actually pretty cool. It was like they got to the part where the court part was finished. It was like, hey, you want to go do this? Like,
oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. That was pretty fun. And the reveal. What's funny is that this issue is so well done. The reveal as to who the mastermind of this plot was just done. Even though it was only in a couple of pages, was done very well.
Right.
And the last page involved a cliffhanger that's leading into the final arc of this book, And, you know, it was just a very well done issue. I had a ball reading this issue, and this is definitely one of my candidates for Click of the Week this week.
Same here. Yeah, especially, well, I was about to say, I don't know about the especially, but I guess the reveal at the end of that starts off the next arc was like, okay, huh, hadn't seen that person in a minute.
That's right.
So, and then it gave me an immediate flashback to, which I probably shouldn't say, but it will probably be a slight spoiler, to Secret Wars.
Yes, yes!
So.
Absolutely Secret Wars. Huh? It's a slight spoiler. I'll ring the bell.
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed it too. It was a great read, and just like you, it's probably going to be definitely a candidate for Click of the Week. So.
Interesting. All
right. And you know what's funny is that you can tell that Soul is having some fun writing these characters. I know that Soul was probably gunning for Daredevil, you know, as the lawyer character he wanted to write. More likely than not, right? But since Wade is doing a good job of, I mean, I've heard rumblings of that. You know, like, Soul is a New York guy. I've heard, like, other people who are closer to him, you know, kind of mention that he was actually looking to get Daredevil, but, you know, She-Hulk was available, and it seems like he's having a lot of fun writing it.
Yeah.
Oh, he wanted to write Daredevil?
That's what I hear. You know, that's the scuttlebutt around.
That'd be the first lawyer hero that would come to mind. So.
Exactly. But I think he's doing such a great job on She-Hulk. It's a shame that, you know, this run on the book is ending, although, you know, they tease that, you know, it may not be the end of Soul working with She-Hulk, the character, so we'll see. But it's a shame that this hasn't caught on, because it's just so much fun.
So real quick, I'm on a quick aside, I'm curious about something, because this is not the only book that's kind of going away and coming back in, and, you know, the Marvel Now thing has been a series of books, you know, kind of just stopping and restarting again for various reasons.
Right.
And I remember one time Marvel was saying something about having, like, seasons or whatnot.
Yes.
And then they actually have season books out. So I'm kind of curious, you think that would actually work better? I mean, yeah, you kind of hate the start and the stopping and all this, and the constant number ones and whatnot. But think about it: if you have a person writing and/or doing the art with a specific story in mind, you know, wouldn't it be better for them to just like, hey, yep, I'm gonna do my run. I got my story out of the way. Somebody else wants it. Cool. If not, then you know.
Right. Right.
The way it's gone now, I'd be fine with that. I mean, I'm gonna read regardless. So.
Right. That's kind of seem like the way it's kind of maybe not inadvertently going.
What I would say is I think it depends on the writer and the story they're intending to tell. Because if you look at Hickman, there's no way he could do that. Because everything he's writing is intertwined with something else.
Well, yeah,
My point is, you know, I think it's dependent upon, you know, the type of stories they want to tell. And there's some creators who are much more comfortable with the idea of continuity than others. You know, there's some creators who like building off of things that have happened before, or creating their own spin on things, and some creators are just like, I don't want to mess with that. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, to each their own. I don't know. I mean, I would probably still read it, to be perfectly honest, if they did that. Season one of, you know, Superior Iron Man, season two of Iron Man. I would probably still read it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea. Let's see. I'll go ahead and get my non-superhero book of the week out the way.
All
right. The Archer and Armstrong 1% from Valiant Comics.
Nice.
I haven't read Archer and Armstrong in a while, so basically, I just jumped back into it. And this is actually just a one-off story, which is easy to read. It's about the 1% and sort of like the secret sect group that has been established in Archer and Armstrong. And it's kind of about how the younger generation is coming in to take over being the big evil group. So more than likely, I can see them. They were established here, and then I could see them being used in future and if Archer and Armstrong has a book later on during Valiant Next, or maybe during the Time Ivar the Time Walker book, which Fred Van Lente will be writing. But this was written by Jeff Lemire, I believe. Let me make sure. It had art by Joe Eisma, who's doing the art on Morning Glories.
Okay. From
Image. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Archer and Armstrong. Let me get the credits page as soon as it opens. But yeah, I'm gonna try to get back to doing a non-big two book or two a week. There was another one I was gonna try to get to, Resurrection. Let's see, I'm gonna get the name wrong, but Ray Fox. I'm sorry, Ray Fox did the Archer and Armstrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was about to say, just as a quick add-on to that, I caught up on some reading for last week, and I read Tooth and Claw number one, and that was pretty good. That probably would have been my non-superhero click of the week last week had I been able to get to it. That was a pretty good read.
Yeah, I need to mention old stuff I read, because even when it's not from the same week anyway.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I have a couple of those, but sometimes when I hit those, I'm not on the show. Actually, Flash Rebirth, that was one, but we can get to that stuff later, because I think I may have a couple. As far as non-superhero books of the week, yeah, I have a couple of them, actually, that I was going to read, and I didn't have time. I was actually going to hit one of them right before the issues happened. Yeah, so most of you know by now, well, some of you know by now, Federal Bureau of Physics, that's my book, that's my jam. It came out this week, but I didn't have a chance to read it. So,
cool. A lot of the big launches from Marvel this week took up a lot of my reading time.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, to be perfectly honest, I didn't even want to read. Like, I hate to say this, but Axis is making me not want to read some of these books, and it made it a kind of difficult for me to read some of these books. You know, I'll give you a couple of quick examples. I tried to sit down and read Avengers World 15, and I struggled my way through Captain America and the Mighty Avengers number one, and I was having this discussion with Tim right before the show, and he was asking me about the all-new Captain America number one, and yeah. I said, I thought I read it, but maybe I didn't, because I don't remember this stuff that he's talking about happening. And the point, my entire point of this rambling rant is, I'm not so keen on Axis, and it's kind of, influencing how I read these books and maybe how much care I take when I'm reading them.
Yeah. I'm definitely skipping a lot of the Axis tie-ins.
You know?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing too. Yeah.
Not reading those.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, is like, I'm going to read the main book, and if there's anything from the main book that says, hey, if you want to find out whatever, happens on the side with this character, then go here, and that's actually interesting to me, right, then I'll go pick it up. But outside of that, I'm just sticking to the main stuff.
Right. And it's interesting that, the all-new Captain America, the Superior, speaking of, another Axis-type tie-in book, Superior Iron Man number one was also out this week. I was just having a lot of trouble reading them, because I'm not a fan of where Axis is going as a story. So, maybe I'm not being as professional as I should be as a comic book reviewer.
You're being honest.
Just trying to read them.
Yeah. And there's been so many events, back-to-back-to-back events, it gets kind of tiresome. So even if Axis ended up being good, it's starting to wear, personally.
Oh, it's been. I mean, I think we're very worn out. I mean, we're coming off of. Think about this. We're on episode 95. How many crossovers have we talked about in 95 episodes? I think we started with AVX. Oh no, before AVX. Right. We've covered AVX. We've covered Fear Itself. We've covered Original Sin. We've covered. Goodness, that's a lot already. You know what I'm saying? We've
had our fair share of events.
Yeah, we've covered a bunch of these.
Original Sin just ended.
Right.
Yep. And not to spoil something that may or may not happen, so some of you who haven't been with the Comic Book Chronicles that long, or even, you know, whatever, might be able to revisit some of those old episodes, which I haven't had a chance to talk to the guys about.
Yes, they're all on theclicknation.com.
There is that also.
And Stitcher and iTunes should have them as well.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, and it might be up in one other place after a while.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/coldslither. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/coldslither.
Hi, my name's Howie Decker. When I'm not main eventing Monday Night Raw, defending Eternia from Skeletor, or listening to the Cold Slither podcast, you can find me on the Underscoop Fire podcast, a site and show dedicated to children of the 80s. We talk about all of your favorite things from yesterday and today. So come join the conversation on iTunes, Buzzsprout, or the Stitcher Smart Radio app, or go to underscoopfire.com. And if anyone has found a Fonzie in Hoth gear action figure, if you could return that to me, I've been looking for that for a while, that'd be great. Hashtag Dick Slam.
So, hey, speaking of our own new cap, you want to get into that?
Yeah, I was going to
go ahead.
Wait to that.
Yeah.
Go ahead if you want to take it away.
Well,
because I just said I didn't read it.
Excuse me. Yeah, I read it because I was like, well, see, here's my thing. Not having read the last run, and I kind of wanted to see how they start off Cap, I did read Captain America 25 just to see that whole story, even though it doesn't really play.
I need to reread it for the last couple of pages since it tied in.
Yeah, and that's kind of where, well, actually, from having read it fairly recently, it ties, but not that much, I don't think. Because, yeah, because what happens at the end, I think, yeah, he does show up there. Anyway, so shout out to the monkeys, shout out to Del the Funky Homo Sapien. That's all I'm saying. If you've read the book, you will see the reference.
What?
No kidding.
Ha ha.
No kidding. It's a hip hop reference.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, of course I ain't. So that's why I ain't get it.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
No.
That's funny.
So
that's an old school reference. That's the thing. That's why Tim doesn't get it. It's an old school reference.
Yeah. So there was a reference in there. I was like, wait a minute. What? That's all right. Remember, I see you. That's but funny. So this is. I was going to say this is what Sam's first mission, but it's actually not because of the Infinite comic, I guess, because that's his actual first mission. But this is a mission that he happens to be going on. Apparently, Ian's there, and I don't know that much about Ian outside of, I know his title last book and the aging up and all that kind of good mess coming from Dimension Z. So Ian's nomad. They're running through a Hydra encampment. You know, Sam gets using his shield, and there's a little bit of banter about that, which I thought was kind of funny, with you know, him by himself or hand or him with Ian. There was a nice little section in there where they were talking about the shield and Sam's use of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite interesting. Even bringing it up, what's that?
It's amazing what great art can do for a book.
The art in it is pretty good. So.
We got Stuart freaking Immonen.
Yep. So, you know, you're starting off, pretty great.
My notes, I said, another great issue from Marvel, Stuart Immonen! Exclamation mark.
Mm-hmm.
Nomad seems fun, too. Zemo appearing at the end makes me wonder if he'll have a helicarrier from Avengers Undercover.
Oh, that was the other news article I took out. Because the Pentagon wants to make a helicarrier, like for real.
Right, not exactly like the helicarrier. I think they want.
Oh, no. They actually do want. They were talking about they made a scale model of a helicarrier with made from like one of those drones,
right?
And you carry like 15 pounds or something like that. So, like, I don't think that's ever going to happen. But they did kind of spec out one.
That's funny.
But anyway,
because you know it's going to crash.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, you also have to have a power source that's going to be self-sustaining, because like that, trying to land one of those things.
Yeah.
You know, that's even though you can do it.
That is funny. All right, so.
But yeah, but the story itself was like, okay, this was all right. You know, you see a Cap 2 villain show back up for, I guess you could say, a cameo.
Okay.
There's that reference that I was telling you about. There's the battle between Ian and Sam, to which I thought Ian was kind of, and maybe just me, this is me not knowing, you know, not reading the previous volume. He kind of came off a certain way that was like, all right, why you just, so that was just them having the banter because they're cool like that, I assume. So, but there's no telling if anything's going to come out of that. But the story overall was all right, you know. It gets to a point, and then we get to the reveal at the end that may tie back to 25, which part of that 25 that I'm kind of curious about, that I hope they do bring back up.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm glad you guys liked it.
All right.
You know, I didn't really, you know, like I said, I didn't really give it much of a chance. I have to sit down and read it now.
And it seems like the whole all-new Cap era is going to involve Hydra, of course, and all of Cap's rogue gallery, who we never did really see in the first volume from Remender, which I think was smart. Yeah. You know, he set everything up with, like, new villains and whatnot, but now since he's got this Sam Wilson, the Falcon, as the new Cap, he's gonna throw all of Cap's rogue gallery at him.
Which didn't that happen when Bucky took over? Because I feel like that's something. Hey, a totally different Cap. You got to send him back. You know, send him through the ringer
against.
Yeah, send him up against his old foes.
Right.
I think Brubaker did that. I'm fairly certain that was the case. I think so, but now you make me want to go back and read it again.
Yeah. But that just kind of seemed like, well, it's like, of course they did that because, you know, he's a new Cap.
All right. Did anyone read Guardians 3000 number 2?
Yeah, I did.
This was a ton of fun. I enjoyed this book. This is another one. This is a sleeper candidate for my click of the week this week. Honestly, I had a lot of fun reading this book. It was just, you know, kind of, you know, pardon my French, you know, where's the censor beep, balls to the wall action. Absolute, there was a lot of just fun stuff happening in this issue.
Yeah. This book still seems like it's a slightly anime. You could tell even from the art that it kind of has a slight anime aesthetic to it, which I've gotten used to, I guess. Not saying it was bad in the first place, but it was just like, I was like, okay, this is, you can definitely say this is not the 90s book.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
The people are there. The language has changed. Even though not directly, but you can tell they're going for a totally different aesthetic with this book. This is more of a harder Guardians than that whole 90s book, which I really wish they would put back out on Marvel U. I mean, I know there's a couple of volumes that are out, but that was a really, really fun book for different reasons. But they are actually tying back to some of that because you kind of see them bring up a villain from that. Well, they don't bring him up. They actually allude to somebody they're getting to, which kind of came from that book also. Excuse me. But yeah, like you said, 870, it was a really fun book to read. Still not really sure what the Gina thing is. I'm like, is she supposed to be a replacement for Nikki? And I was thinking in the course of reading this, like, wait a minute, we already have Starhawk, and yet Gina's kind of has that same ability.
Space-time type. Yeah, that was always traditionally like a Starhawk thing, I know.
Right, but this has been played out more of a Groundhog's Day type of deal than Starhawk's deal ever been, so I'm kind of curious as to where that's going to go.
Right, but, you know, like I said, the majority of this book was just, you know, super action, and it was just very well done. Indeed. and it's definitely leading somewhere, and it's just a matter of, you know, wanting to stay on the ride and get there. So, you know, I enjoyed this book. Like I said, sleeper pick for Click of the Week for me.
Indeed.
You know, I didn't even want to get into too much of the story because it's so much action. I'm just like, all right, this is so much fun.
Yeah. And like I said, if you do kind of like that aesthetic we were just talking about and are curious of the quote-unquote the original, you know, the OG Guardians, pick this book up. It is not Quill and the crew, even, but they still kind of have that same bond, let's say.
Right. All right.
So you're trying to do something on my phone.
It's all right. How about let me throw out another book. Did anyone else read? Actually, let me just look at the chart, the sheet. What did you guys think of Thor number 2?
That was great since they finally got the Goddess of Thunder up in there.
Yeah.
And I like how her internal dialogue differed from her external dialogue.
I think that's sort of to help establish like what's going on, you know, in terms of like this character and the Thor being Thor, you know.
It's like we have this new Thor and this new Captain America both sort of trying to come to grips and with being these new characters, so we're learning with them as they're learning to assume these new roles.
Yeah, kind of like that. You know, you take out the mantle, you got to own it yourself, but you also have to recognize, like, hey, this is, you know, this is something, a mantle that has been done, you know, quite historically.
Before plus we got a couple of clues as to who she possibly could be.
All right. See, I haven't read this issue, but I remember reading the first one. Has that been said who it is, or no. Is there any? Because it seemed from reading, at least to me, I could be totally wrong. From reading the first book, it seemed kind of clear to who it might be. Like I could be totally off base. That's what I want to say.
No, I think there might be a swerve.
Yeah, and there was that was that. So.
I definitely think there might be a swerve in there. I know what you're thinking. I think I know what you're thinking.
Mm. I still say it's Jane Foster.
That's not a bad guess.
I mean, it's totally not.
It's not a bad guess.
It's totally not. But it was like, wait, did she even show up though? But I mean, well, not that I would matter.
I need to go back and do some research because
that'd be pretty great if it was.
Malika said. You asked if they had met before. She said out loud no, but in her mind she said yes, that they've met. So that right there is one clue that it's someone that Malekith has met before. So we know that Roz Solomon character
is too new.
Well, but I'm sure, would Malekith have met her?
Now I gotta look back, and now I gotta go back and read.
Yeah.
I know she was very involved in the stuff with the
Roxxon.
Yeah. Mm. But see, the reason I say it's Jane Foster is because didn't she get like some duty as like chief liaison for Asgardia between the realms or something? I think at the end of the previous Thor God of Thunder series, she was working Norse gods, but the gods, something.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I'm starting to remember that. Good memory.
So I just need to see. I need to go back and see. Was she around during the first Malekith story arc? Unless they're referencing something previously, when some story long ago when
exactly.
But yeah. And that would explain. Oh yeah. So if she really was working with the Asgardians, that would be explain why she was up on the moon to begin with, to be able to pick up the hammer.
Yeah.
Good one.
Okay.
And even though she was losing her hair from the cancer,
right, from the chemo, right,
she could have just picked up the hammer, and then all of a sudden, you know, hair burst out of her head. Also explain how she got, you know, super strength and whatnot.
That's right. That's funny. All right. What else do we have on our list?
Do we want to hit up Superior Iron Man?
Yeah, we could talk about that.
So this is going to be one of my favorite books to follow, I can see.
Oh.
We have Prick Tony Stark. So this is my first time reading a Tom Taylor book. I know he's done Injustice, and I know it's great.
Yeah.
But I don't read that, not because I don't like it. It's just it was a digital book, and didn't it come out like every week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
can't something like that.
All that. But he writes a great Tony Stark. He's just aggravating and pompous. And the back and forth between him and Pepper and this first issue was real funny. And the nice little tease at the end of the issue of like, oh, what's that going to be?
Right.
So wait, is he writing, so you're saying he's writing Robert Downey Jr.'s version of Tony Stark? Because, I mean, Tony historically has never really been that much of a, that big of a prick.
He's doing Robert Downey Jr. times 10. Robert Downey Jr. times 10 or times 20.
Okay. Well, that informs some things then. Maybe I'll check it out. I don't know.
I mean, there's an interesting premise to this too that draws in, you know, there's a guest star in this book, spoiler alert, that, you know, is a hero that's taking up residence in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. I think that's not much of a spoiler, because I think that might have been mentioned. If it's
right.
It's on future covers, at least.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not, you know, it's not on the cover for this issue. So, But ultimately, you know, we're leading to a confrontation between those two heroes about what, you know, what admittedly is a pretty good, you know, a pretty interesting premise. You know, especially in this day and age of, let's put it this way, free to try programs and games, you know, free to try but pay to play, you know, later on.
Right.
So it's kind of an interesting take on that. So I give Taylor a lot of credit for kind of coming up with this idea, because it's a pretty novel idea, but the important thing is to execute on it. You know, it's great to have this great idea, but executing on it is another story. And I think they execute this, you know, this particular story very well. You know, I give them a lot of credit for this. It's kind of tough reading, you know, super duper jerk off times 10 Tony Stark, but at the same time, I think it's done pretty well.
Dope. Anyone you want to bring up?
Cool.
Agent 70?
Let's see. How about Miles Morales, Ultimate Spidey number 7?
Ah.
I was not happy reading this book. I thought it was good, but it doesn't get anywhere. How about that?
One of our loyal listeners and readers and viewers, Dorkikis, was saying the same thing today. We're kind of having a little conversation about it. He was saying very underwhelming.
I mean, it's a lot of fun, but it's just the same that we've seen in the last couple of issues, like a lot of back and forth combat. But then we don't get, it's just very difficult dealing with this version of what may very well be the clone saga, Bendis style in the Ultimate Universe. You know, we don't get a lot of answers, and obviously they're doing that to string it out, but then again, how many more issues do they have left of this Ultimate book?
Yeah, well, they got till probably next spring.
Yeah.
To resolve all this, I guess.
Right. So, I like to say I was correct on at least part of my theory on the secret that Kate Bishop was hiding.
Get
into it or not, or
do it.
Yeah, I can say, yeah, that's what I was waiting for, the bell.
Spoiler!
So a couple of issues ago, when Kate Bishop was confiding in her sister how Miles had revealed his identity to her, I can't remember if it was her sister or if Kate said how their parents wouldn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I wonder if her parents are villains. So I was right. They're not, well, at least as far as we know right now, they're not like big name villains, but they're associated with a group of villains.
There you go.
So she's an unofficial runaway, which is what you're saying.
Kinda.
So. Go me! I pay attention to stuff.
Cool. All right. But outside of that, not much was really.
No, supposedly we were gonna find out the secret about Miles' father here, but he just shows up on the last page, of course.
Right, next issue. The issue after that, which is the pace that Bendis is writing at in this. That's what kills me.
Yeah, because next issue would be a whole bunch of 10 panels a page of like Miles and his dad saying like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Really? I'm doing the Miz now. Really?
I gotcha. All right, let's see. So, we've actually already covered almost everything I read this week. How about, did anyone read Batman 36?
I read it. It was great.
I liked it. It actually, you know what's funny is I didn't write it down, but Batman Eternal this week, I forget what number it is, was actually a pretty strong issue. So let me talk about the two Batman books this week. First, Batman 36. This is part two of this Joker story. And we see, Batman basically in combat against members of the Justice League in the last issue, and in this issue we have Batman basically taking on Superman and doing his level best to stop, Clark from killing him. He succeeds, but then what we have is the aftermath, which is Batman investigating how the Justice League was given this particularly virulent or strong version of the Joker toxin, and his investigation leads to, where the spoiler alert. If there's Joker toxin, can the Joker be far behind? So we find the latest incarnation of the Joker and what face he's wearing at this point. So that's the big reveal in this issue. And I guess we get some kind of a cliffhanger. Don't want to spoil that part. The backup issue involves some crazy people who escaped from Arkham. Batman Eternal was a pretty interesting issue, and actually it's a theory of mine that is proven to be true, where they put Jason Fabok as the artist on any of the pivotal Batman Eternal issues. So it's Batman Eternal number 32 this week. And when I saw that Fabok was doing the art, I was like, oh, something's going to happen.
Something happened.
Ooh. Something happened to move the story forward just a bit and to try to set up, I guess, another shift in the status quo in terms of how Gotham maybe sees Bruce Wayne and Wayne Enterprises. So I'll leave it at that. Okay. You know, and like I said, the Fabok art, you know, they put them on the book when something, you know, when they want to tell an important story.
Yeah, I said in my notes that reading this issue of Batman number 32, it was 32, right?
Oh, Eternal? Batman Eternal?
No, Batman 36.
Oh, 36.
Yeah. Batman 36 makes me want to go back and get caught up on Batman Eternal. I'm like 13 issues behind or something like that.
You can, honestly, if you see that it may not make much of a difference, you could like skim it and get to the next one quickly.
Yeah, I may do that. Because I'm sure not every issue is worth reading. I know Arkham Manor? Asylum crumbled in Batman Eternal?
Yes.
Okay.
Finally.
And I know the villain, the guy with the covered face, what's his name?
Hush.
I know he appeared.
Right. He's there. He's there in this issue. He plays a pretty big role. So, you know, that's my take on Batman this week.
All right. And the only other thing I think I had to list was my Captain America and the Mighty Avengers number one.
I read this. What'd you think?
That was cool. I guess since it ties so closely into Access, makes me not like it as much.
Same.
Mm.
But it brings Al Ewing back into my life, so.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
That's funny. I hadn't read it yet, but I was kind of looking forward to getting to it just to see what goes on. But since you're saying it's tying into, well, I mean, of course it was tying into Access because that's pretty much what happened the last time Mighty came out. It was tied to an event, which, hey, not complaining.
But it makes me want to read an Al Ewing Spider-Man book.
Oh, really?
That's right.
It's off of one page.
Yeah, that's right. That was a pretty good... I have to agree, that was actually one of the better sequences that I read this week. Have to agree.
Okay, now I have to read it. Now I really have to read it.
Well, listen, take that with what I said earlier about how I'm just not paying that much careful attention to these Axis related books. You know, it's just it's a tough road for me to hoe.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting. There was something I was going to ask about that, but I guess I will just read it and save it.
You have anything that's on your list?
Let me bring up. That's what was the other thing I was doing while you were talking.
I was going to mention during the All New Captain America discussion that there was a nice variant cover of Foul Cap with, I'm assuming it was Bobby Shmurda, the rapper.
Oh, yeah.
Son.
See, this is why you didn't get the Del the Funky Homo Sapiens reference, because you know who this person is. I haven't got the fuck that's who you're talking about right now.
Well, I saw a link to that variant. I think I forgot to put it in there for whatever reason, actually brings up another variant cover thing, but I'm not going to bring that one up. But yeah, so what were you going to say about that, Tim?
Oh, well, I was just going to bring it up.
Just bring it to the Bobby Shmurda thing, yeah.
People loved it online when they saw Marvel tweeted it out.
Right.
Oh, my goodness, this is so funny.
Ghostface did it better.
Anyway.
That's funny, Bobby Shmurda. I mean, he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny.
So here's what I'm going to bring up, because... let's see. Captain Marvel number 10.
Nine?
I'm all over the place. Yes, number 9. And I am going to read you this tweet that I did after I read it. The poem by Roddy Cat.
Matt.
Just finished reading Captain Marvel number 9. Its story was fun. No pun. Was bereft. Well done, I say, was told quite deft.
That is a running theme, obviously, in this book. I did read this. I didn't want to, you know, like I was telling Tim while I was putting my list together earlier, that I read a lot this week. I just couldn't remember everything. I didn't want to talk about every, you know, I want to list everything I read this week. Yeah. This was an interesting read. I thought that DeConnick did a good job at trying to integrate that rhyming theme throughout the book, although I mean, I was happy to see Lila Cheney. It was, you know, she makes a reappearance in the Marvel Universe. I don't know the last time we saw Lila Cheney. We're used to seeing her in the X books,
right?
You know, but you know, so I don't recall the last time we've seen her in the Marvel pages. But I kind of dug the space rock and roll Hall of Fame character homages.
Right.
You know, if you flip through this book, you're just like, oh, so that's, you know, that's supposed to be this person, that's supposed to be this person. Mm-hmm. You know, is the story, you know, like the be-all, end-all? No. Is it necessary to read this to understand what's going on in the book? Probably not.
No, it's filler. I mean, it's a filler issue.
But it's not a bad filler issue. It's just kind of fun.
Yeah. Even when the which I thought was kind of a stretch. Lila. Anyway, came to be there in the first place. I was like, all right, that's a bit of a stretch, but I guess it could work that way.
Right.
So I was like, all right, that's... We'll allow that. Let them go.
Right. And you know what's fun? What I was going to say, what's funny is that for a filler issue, they actually ended with a cliffhanger. So It was kind of funny that way. It's like, well, maybe it's not the most fillery of filler issues, you know?
Yeah. Which it kind of made me the whole time I was reading it, I was like, okay, I would really like to know her writing process while she was drafting this book out, because that couldn't have been...
How many bottles did she go through?
Exactly. That couldn't have been easy. And I kind of want to say somewhere between the last couple of times I saw her speaking, she might have alluded to this issue in some way without actually saying it. I might be just reading into things.
I saw her out at the Marvel Diversity panel at the New York Comic Con. By the way, I updated my post on the ClickNation.com, my post on New York Comic Con, my visit to New York Comic Con 2014. I changed it so that it's not like a 1990s website. You can actually see the pictures in a slideshow. It's not just, you know, on the page. So go there, see what I had to say about what I saw in some of these panels. I'll be putting up more slideshows with pictures from the panels I attended. And the reason I bring this up is that the panel I attended, I don't remember DeConnick talking too much about this issue. She may very well have referenced it at some of the other panels that she was at. Mm-hmm. You know, this is definitely something that she might want to tease and say, hey, you know, guess what? There's a rhyme time issue coming up soon.
Yeah. Like, I think it was going to, like, I remember either seeing her at, when I saw her at either Heroes, which probably would have been before she started drafting this one, or at the very least Dragon Con, but she was talking about a totally different book. She was mentioning something about the writing process and something she was thinking about for a specific issue or something. She didn't really give me exact details. So I'm thinking it's starting to think that this was the book she was talking about, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I could be totally wrong on that, though.
Cool. All right. I just actually want to throw out, I don't know if we're in rapid review time yet.
Yeah, let's hit it.
All right, rapid review time. I didn't list this on my list, but I did read Deadpool. Is it Hawkeye and Deadpool? Hawkeye versus Deadpool number 2 of 4. I have to say, Jerry Duggan has his Deadpool voice, his Deadpool character, so in tune right now. It's so very well done. It's just a fun read. You don't have to really care about Deadpool the character. You could tell that, just like how Soul was having some fun kind of exercising his legal chops in She-Hulk number 10 this week, Duggan is having a ball just writing, you know, Deadpool. You know, the comedy of Deadpool, he's having a ton of fun writing it, and it's just a joy to read. I'm not even that big a Deadpool fan. I really couldn't care that much about... I don't care that much about the character, but I can tell that Duggan is having a good time writing this, and I'm having a good time reading it.
I feel the same way. Every now and then I'll jump in and kind of read an arc here and there of the regular Deadpool series, and the art, at least for this Deadpool versus Hawkeye, Hawkeye Deadpool, whichever name comes first. Right.
Whichever one you care about more.
It looks interesting, but I just haven't found the time to actually...
Sure. Like I said, it's you don't even have to be be following it on a regular basis. If you just need to just kind of get put a smile on your face, I hate to say this, in a book where there's like stabbing and shooting and killing, where... you know, with Deadpool, it is Deadpool after all.
Right.
It's kind of a pleasant surprise every week when I read it, and I give Duggan a lot of credit.
So here's the question I have about that. Is Hawkeye catching bodies?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, I don't want to spoil the end. That's sure. That's why I want to be careful about what I say.
Okay. That's
but it is crazy. Only 2 of 4, so there's still 2 issues left.
Yeah, okay. This just brings back an old curiosity.
No problem. Oh, rapid review for Bucky Barnes, The Winter Soldier number 2. This is some psychedelic stuff. I don't understand what this story was really about. It's probably going to be explained in the next issue, but this was just weird. Don't know why Loki is playing any sort of role in a Winter Soldier book, but he is. So, you know, just a very weird combination this week in Bucky Barnes, The Winter Soldier number 2.
Is there an Exis tie or?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Or at least I don't think so. Let me look at the cover.
No, it's not.
It's okay. Straight, right? Okay. It's some psychedelic stuff, man. If you start flipping through it, you'll see what I mean.
Cool. Let me bring up Nightcrawler number 8. I am still on the mindset of the fact that we have Amazing X-Men and this book, and I'm not saying we could probably do with one or the other being Nightcrawler's vehicle, but that said, this was still a decent read, you know.
But didn't this feel like it was an X-Men comic and not a Nightcrawler comic? Or it could be like one of those older X-Men books that, you know, was like a spotlight on a certain character?
Yeah,
but still kind of moved the team story along.
Yeah, like he is definitely the focus of this, obviously since it's his book, but there is enough of the X-Men that show up in the book to there is like, okay, well, you know, this could have been in one of the other X-Men books at some point. Because basically this starts off a new thing where I guess this is touched off of the last couple of issues where he runs up against the Crimson Pirates or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But this one has to do with, well, one, let's just say that we all know that Nightcrawler has been a smooth operator in the past. He still is, apparently. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, him, yeah, because one of the Crimson Pirates gets in a little trouble and just so happens to call for him for help. And there's a little, moments in between them.
There's swashbuckling going on.
And that's the cool thing about this book, because, I mean, obviously, it's Claremont, so he knows the character pretty well. That part of Nightcrawler quite well. So you get to see all the parts of Nightcrawler that has been from the past.
Right, and we also get an old-school Claremont villain in this, too.
That is correct. So it was a good read for all of that. This is basically like, hey, you know my pedigree with this. You know, I'm going to bring up this old stuff and use a character that has had some love for in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not knocking this book whatsoever. I'm just saying it's just like, eh.
No, I had the same feeling. I felt like this was an X-Men book, not really a Nightcrawler book. Although, you know, you have to basically integrate what I said earlier, which is this felt like an old-school X-Men book that was just a Nightcrawler spotlight.
Centric. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this could very well have been dropped into the regular, you know, series of Uncanny X-Men or X-Men.
Right, like as a filler arc or something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Definitely.
Did anyone here read Spider-Verse number 1?
No.
You honestly could have skipped this. I was telling Tim this earlier. You do not have to read this to understand what's going on in the Spider-Verse story that's contained in the pages of Amazing. There was a lot of quirky short stories in this. Honestly, I think I pulled this issue for, you know, in my physical pull list. I'm not so sure I'm going to be happy bringing it home. You know, to be perfectly honest, I knew what I was getting into. I knew that this was supposed to be sort of a short story book that would cover some of the various spider versions of Spider-Man across the multiverse. But it didn't really impact, you know, much of my feeling on Spider-Verse as a whole, and I really could have done without it.
Did I see? I saw an article on this right before. Was there something about Hostess Pie?
There is a reference to Hostess Pies in this. It's not enough to save the issue. Let's put it that way.
Sure. Because I saw that. I was like, wait, am I going to have to read this for just to see what that's about?
There's also a reference to the Sunday Spidey comic strips.
Right.
And, you know, there's a reference to that, and is it worth reading this entire book just to see those two snippets of kind of goodness? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think so. That's
probably
my opinion.
I'm going to do it anyway, though. Cause
yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're doing it for academic purposes.
There is
we
that, have, and also
we
the
have
nostalgia.
To be professional. That's what exactly. I'm trying to convince myself as I try to read these Axis books.
Well, and it's also the nostalgia factor of those two things.
Right.
You know. So I was like, wait, because people don't know, you know, they don't have, I don't think they have the same kind of stuff that they used to have in the books nowadays. And for people who don't know, there was a Marvel tie-in where, you know, you had Marvel characters hawking Hostess fruit pies in the middle of the books. You know, you had, like, the thing of Spider-Man doing a page and, you know, going up against somebody, and then fruit pies end up showing up some kind of way. You know,
that's right.
So it was all good.
That's funny.
This podcast is being sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Come visit us at ColdSlitherPodcast.com and then click on the link through our front page to MyComicShop.com. Shop there and keep the podcast going free. And you'll get new releases of comic books delivered right to your door. MyComicShop.com through ColdSlitherPodcast.com. Do it today.
Clicks of the week. I will do mine.
Go for it, because
I'm between two books.
Mine is just looking at my list, make sure I'm going to go with what I'm going to go with. I'm going Batman 36.
Really?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. The whole the art is great. The whole the Joker reveal was cool. So, my click of the week.
That and Dirt's not here.
Yeah. All right, you know what? I'm going to stick with my original pick, the strongest candidate, I think, for my click. Number 10. I just had so much fun reading this. It was a blast.
Definitely a good choice. Well, you know what? Since you're doing that one, and I would definitely co-sign that one, but since you're doing that one, I'm going to go ahead and do Guardians 3000.
Yes, that was the other book I was considering.
Yeah. Because that book had a lot of love. Like, for the nostalgia factor, all the action in it, and the just the enjoyable read of it, that would be it.
There you go. I like that pick. I was definitely thinking Guardians 3000 number 2. Strong, strong book. I'm glad. That's a book I'm glad I have on my physical pull list. You kidding me?
Right.
So, you know, you know what that means. Fans. You know what I was saying? You know what that means when it's on your physical pull list.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about academic review purposes. Is that point.
Exactly. This is a keeper, so you know, and I definitely have that book coming at some point. But yeah, this is totally a keeper.
Definitely, definitely. Alrighty.
So, did anybody have any old back issue stuff that they read? Kind of.
None that popped to mind right now.
Yeah, because like I said, I read Flash Rebirth in the last past week.
Oh, I was talking about Tooth and Claw number 1. I read from last week. We're talking about going way, way back.
Yeah, something that happened to pop up recently that you reread, or you know,
yeah, just same thing.
That you didn't read. Yeah,
like, between last week's show and this week's show.
Right.
Yeah. I would say Tooth and Claw number 1. That was a good read. I liked it. I actually made a point of picking it up after reading it. You know, I read it, and I actually picked up a physical copy, and I'm glad I picked it up because apparently it sold out in a lot of different places. And, right. You know, they have, I guess, physical copies in some stores. There's a news release on that Dirt provided for us. So, you know, I guess that proves to be pretty popular.
All right. So that's everyone. Cool. Of the week.
Yep.
So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. Back up.
We got more.
Yeah, because there was something, I don't know if y'all mentioned this, and I was in the midst of putting it in before the crap went down. So two things. Did y'all talk about Omar's new book? Omar Spahid, former guest of Awesome Comics.
I saw him tweet, or I saw Seek tweet something about it earlier
tonight. Right. So, you know, I would say friend of the show, but former guest on the Comic Book Chronicles, Omar Spahid from Awesome Comics, has a new book called Separators Out.
Ooh, nice.
Or is it out or about to come out? I can't remember. I have the story pulled up here, but I don't know. But there's a story on Bleeding Crew called... he talked about, I will drop it in the notes, and then it's out there somewhere. That, and did y'all talk about the, never mind, later, because that was a DreamWorks animation, DreamWorks and Hasbro merger, but we can do that later. But I just want to give a shout out to Chris Sabella, because apparently him and Charles Soule or somebody else are kind of taking things back with stuff on the timeline.
There was
there was some DP7 mention. And Kickers
no
Inc.
No way.
Yeah. I think he was talking to, I think he was talking to Charles Soule. And it was saying if he wanted to do a book, you know, if there was a book that he really wanted to do, it was I think he said Night Mask or DP7 when I brought up DP7, he was like, yeah, he would want to do that, but he was being realistic. He was either Night Mask or Kickers Inc. that he would want to do. So I was like, okay, new universe, love. That's, I appreciate it. But now they're talking about Mantis, and, you know, not too many people know about Mantis. and VR5, which are shows, which, you know, from the past. But anyway, that's just something I probably didn't have to bring up, but I thought that was pretty cool.
All righty.
Bring it home.
Bring it home. We are wrapping up episode 95, people! 95!
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what to do for the 100th episode.
Well, I have an idea.
Tweet us, hashtag Comic Book Chronicles.
And Roddy Cat has ideas. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Roddy Cat and at News Nerd Sneed.
Yes.
I'm at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. So we will be back next week with episode 96 as we count down to episode 100.
Yeah! Woo-hoo!
We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!